We've been using this summer season to reflect on the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul put it to the Galatians, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we'll talk about faithfulness as we study a passage of Scripture from the letter to the Hebrews. Now, this letter was written to a Jewish Christian community that had faced real struggles in life. They had gone through some tough times, and some of them were considering abandoning the faith. So the writer of Hebrews responded to this situation by writing them and sharing some words of encouragement and inspiration. Now, the passage that we'll look at in just a moment is found at the end of chapter 11, and then we'll read into the beginning of chapter 12. This scripture includes stories of some of the most faithful members of Israel's past, but it really focuses on the ultimate example of faith, which we find in Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to chapter 11 of Hebrews, or you can simply follow along with the words that will be on the screen. I'll start with verse 29 and then read through verse 2 of chapter 12. So let's listen now to these words of Scripture. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins and sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, and of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Amen. Who's excited that the Olympics kick off this Friday? I certainly am. I always look forward to watching the Olympic Games. I love it. I love watching the best athletes in the world compete at the highest level. And I love the fact that the Games are rooted in history. Now, the Olympic Games originated in ancient Greece as many as 3,000 years ago. From the 8th century BC to the 4th century AD, the Games were held every 4 years in the city of Olympia. Now, the first written records of the ancient games tell us that a man named Corobus won the first and the only event It was a 192-meter foot race called the Stade. Now, since then, many other sports have been added to the modern Olympic Games, like gymnastics, swimming, cycling, weightlifting, fencing, and a lot of other things. But my personal favorite is the track and field events. And that's in part because I ran track and cross country growing up. And I love to see how fast people run the events that I used to run. And it really impresses me, and I can really appreciate how much they've pushed themselves to be so successful. Now, Roger Bannister is one person who knew firsthand what it takes to be successful as a runner. He was the first person in the world to break the 4-minute mile barrier. He ran a mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds on a track in Oxford, England in 1954. When he was asked what it takes to win a race, he said, and I'll quote for you, "The man who can drive himself further once the effort gets painful is the man who will win." In other words, being a successful runner takes commitment and perseverance, and both are important in our walk with God. Now, running, I think, makes a great metaphor for faithfulness. And I think Apostle Paul would agree. After all, he asked the Corinthians, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it." And he said to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And we also find running language here in the letter to the Hebrews. And chapter 12 began with the words, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." The Christian faith has been connected to running since almost its beginning. And the early church, as we just heard, was encouraged to run in such a way that you may win it. Finish the race and keep the faith. Run with perseverance the race that's set before you. That's the message of faithfulness. And like running, faithfulness requires commitment over a long period of time. You keep working at it in order to succeed. And like running, faithfulness requires perseverance. You have to overcome the obstacles that will surely pop up along the way. And when you do things like this, you show that you're dependable and trustworthy, which we see in God. Now, the faithfulness of God is a message that's repeated again and again in the Bible. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments. Psalm 25 reads, "All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness." Psalm 33 says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness." And Paul, at the beginning of his first letter to the Corinthians, wrote, "God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So you can see the Bible bears witness to the truth that God has proved his faithfulness over the course of time. People of Israel, for example, knew that God could be trusted because God keeps his promises, unlike the people of God. The Bible tells us that the people of Israel could not be trusted because they were often unfaithful. They didn't keep their promises to God. However, there were some men and women in the Old Testament who showed great faithfulness to God. They showed great faithfulness to God's calling on their lives. Moses is one example. He offered faithful leadership for 40 years, even though his people were often ungrateful for his service. We also see faithfulness in people like Joseph, Samuel, Ruth, Daniel, and Jeremiah. The Apostle Paul mentioned in his letters some very faithful friends and co-workers in the ministry, including Timothy, Epaphras, Onesimus, Tychicus, and Apelles. Now, the Bible does more than just give us these examples of faithfulness. It calls us to live with faithfulness. The question is, how do we do this given the fact that so many people have failed and come up short? How do we grow in faithfulness? How can we fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith? The first church that I served after graduating from seminary was in Williamsburg, Virginia. Soon after I had moved there with Victoria, I joined a local running club. Now, I didn't run all that much in seminary, but since I didn't have to write papers and study for exams any longer, I decided to use all that free time to get back into running. And being part of a running club got me training a lot more. There were weekly workouts and lots of friendly competition. I started running in lots of road races, mainly the 5K variety. I could run 3 miles. That was doable. But I started getting an itch for something greater, for a greater challenge. Some of my running buddies were training for a marathon, and so I decided to tag along with them and train for my first marathon, and I gave myself 6 months to get ready. Well, this challenge pumped me up. I was excited to try something that I knew would be hard. I wanted to push myself and see what would happen. And there were some hardships and difficulties along the way. At times I struggled to find the proper amount of time to train. I was hit with a case of plantar fasciitis in my right foot, and I was running farther than I'd ever run in my life. One day I went out on a 15-mile training run, and somewhere around the 12th or 13th mile, I hit the wall. I couldn't go any farther. My legs just wouldn't go. And I wondered, how on earth am I going to run a full marathon, a full 26.2 miles? Well, I told myself that if I could just run 2 hours straight without stopping, then I could push that to 2.5 hours, and then 3 hours, and maybe even longer if that was needed. But I kept pushing myself to improve, and I incorporated some better training habits into my workout routines. I invested in better running shoes, and I improved my diet, and that was the toughest part. I had to give up potato chips and sodas, and I had to drink a lot more water. But when the marathon finally rolled around 6 months later, I was ready to run. And I ran the whole race. I didn't set any records. I didn't win my age group or anything like that. But I crossed the finish line. I almost passed out and my legs were wobbly, but it was an incredible feeling to accomplish that goal. Now, running that marathon for me was a growing experience. It gave me a challenge. It was difficult. And yet it pushed me to improve. Now, not all of us are runners or even like running, but we can grow in our faith by joining the race that God has laid out for us and by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who Hebrews calls the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You know, the Christian life is a long and rigorous race. It certainly gives us a challenge. It's difficult. And yet it pushes us to improve, to live more faithful lives. Now, let's first think about the challenge that it provides. The writer of Hebrews said, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. Now, in each of these examples, the people of God faced huge challenges, and they didn't overcome these obstacles with their intelligence or their physical strength or with technology. They overcame their obstacles with their faith. They trusted God to work for good in their lives. Now, being faithful requires trust. That trust is a willingness to lean on God and to believe that the Lord will lead you through whatever hardships come your way so that you can say in the end, as Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. You know, the primary challenge of the Christian life is to live a life with faith, to live a life of faithfulness. But why is this so hard? Why do people so often come up short? Well, according to Hebrews, faith is difficult because it doesn't immediately lead to an easy or comfortable life. And that's pointed out to us in verses 36 through 38, where it says that the people of faith suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. You know, life would be much easier if our faith freed us from hardships, pain and suffering, but we know it doesn't do that. You know, we all will face something in life, something hard, something difficult that will cause us to suffer. And we may even wonder if that's how it all ends. But suffering is never the end because God has a way of transforming it. God takes our pain and our brokenness and creates something new. The Lord, if you will, brings order out of our chaos. The Lord then leads us to the finish line, which is the kingdom of God. Let's remember that God has promised us a future where there is no more death or crying or pain. But how do we keep the faith for the long haul? How do we grow faithful without growing weary? Well, in the first two verses of chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we can learn a lot from the people who have already run the race of faith, just like the people in the Bible. And like many of them, we can push ahead with perseverance when we're faced with pain and suffering and any other challenge or obstacle. But the most important thing we can do, this is the point that I'd really hope you would remember from today, is that we are to look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He endured the pain and the suffering of the cross to bring us forgiveness and to help us to not grow weary or lose heart. When we look to Jesus, And when we stay connected to God through the Holy Spirit, faithfulness grows in us. We become the people God wants us to be. Living with faithfulness, I know, is hard. But let's remember that God is always working for good in our lives. And let's also remember that Jesus is running ahead of us, showing us how to deal with all the hardships that life might throw at us so that we can cross the finish line. And when we do that, we can hear the Lord say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Would you pray with me? Oh God, help us keep our eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. He never lost sight of where he was headed. He lived with perseverance and commitment and trust. He lived with great faithfulness. Lord, help us to learn from his life so that we might also live with faithfulness. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The band's going to lead us in a song in just a moment, and I'll be in the back. If any of you would like to come back there to talk with me, to pray, or to share how you are responding to what God has been speaking to you today, I'll be back there to meet with you. But let's stand now, and we'll sing together.